This talk is part of a series based on the four foundations of mindfulness, and in particular, this topic of this talk is mindfulness of the body. We begin with the story of three monks standing on the bank of a lake. The first monk needed to go to the other side of the lake and decided to walk across. He walked across on top of the water to the other side of the lake, and he walked back the same way. The second monk did likewise. He walked across the water, all the way across the lake to the other side, and then back the same way. The third monk was astounded that this could be true and wondered how it happened. He felt a little intimidated, but he knew it was his turn, and so he set out to go across the lake. When he stepped into the water, of course, he went right to the bottom. He tried several times, becoming more embarrassed and more frustrated, but each time he went to the bottom of the lake. One of the other monks on the shore looked at the other monk and said, "Should we tell him where the rocks are?" So this is what the scripture passage about mindfulness of the body does for us. It saves us from that fate by telling us where the rocks are. Listen to the words of the Buddha talking about mindfulness of the body. "And how, bhikkhus, does a bhikkhu abide contemplating the body as a body? Here, a bhikkhu gone to the forest or to the root of a tree or to an empty hut sits down, having folded his legs crosswise, set his body erect, and established mindfulness in front of him. Ever mindful, he breathes in, ever mindful, he breathes out. Breathing in long, he understands, I breathe in long. Or breathing out long, he understands, I breathe out long. Breathing in short, he understands, I breathe in short. Or breathing out short, he understands, I breathe out short. He trains thus, I shall breathe in experiencing the whole body. He trains thus, I shall breathe out experiencing the whole body. He trains thus, I shall breathe in tranquilizing the body formation. He trains thus, I shall breathe out tranquilizing the bodily formation. Just as a skilled turner or his apprentice when making a long turn understands, I make a long turn, or when making a short turn understands, I make a short turn, so too, breathing in long, a bhikkhu understands, I breathe in long. He trains thus, I shall breathe out, tranquilizing the bodily formation." What a wonderful place to begin with the body. How accessible. It's right here with us all the time. The Buddha has said that mindfulness of the body is the only practice we actually need for awakening. This is a remarkable claim. Another way of saying this is that without mindfulness of the body, without truly inhabiting this, our home, awakening does not occur. He himself tried to squelch the body and its needs, almost starving himself to death. He learned that this did not enhance his awakening. In contrast to such ascetic practices, and unlike James Joyce's character, Mr. Duffy, who lived a short distance from his body, the teachings encourage us to inhabit this body fully, to be completely present to it and in it. Why is the body so central to the development of mindfulness? Well, first, it counteracts the notion of transcendence as a path. It's the opposite of escape, getting high, zoning out. This is why we emphasize in the instruction in the practice that it's not aiming for bliss. So often beginners in the meditation practice, either knowingly or unknowingly, are seeking such an escape from the realities of life that they are destined to be disillusioned. Ram Dass spoke of his years of getting high and then later of learning that what he really needed to do was to clear away what was keeping him down. So why else might the body be so important? Well, the body is the storehouse of all things past, genetic, experiential. Every experience of our lives is recorded in each cell of the body and becomes a part of our reality, whether we acknowledge that or not. The body is the only present manifestation of consciousness in time and space. It's the place where the present shows up. And the body tells the truth. Just as John James Audubon said, "When the bird and the book disagree, believe the bird." So the body is the vehicle for transformation, for coming home. How fortunate for us. Buddhist teachings have delineated 10 benefits that arise from mindfulness of the body. When sati, or mindfulness, is developed and cultivated and established, making mindfulness the default setting or the abiding place, then these 10 benefits accrue. They are conquering of discontent, conquering of fear and dread, bearing contact with hunger, thirst, heat, cold, enduring spoken unwelcome words, enduring arising of painful bodily sensations, attaining the four jhanas, wielding various supernormal powers, and entering deliverance from unwholesome mind. We don't hold all of those out as aims of the practice, but they are benefits that accrue over a period of time. Quite a list of benefits from the practice of body mindfulness. In addition, the body's a source of joy. It helps deepen concentration. And it is the simplest, most direct path to overcome the onslaught of Mara in the form of the hindrances. Thai forest master Ajahn Mun spoke these words. "In your investigation of the world, never allow the mind to desert the body. Examine its nature, see the elements that comprise it, see the impermanence, the suffering, the selflessness of the body while sitting, walking, standing, or lying down. When its true nature is seen fully and lucidly by the heart, the wonders of the world will become clear. In this way, the purity of the mind can shine forth, timeless and delivered." It's actually so simple. So every day, whatever you're doing, brushing your teeth, cooking food, going to the toilet, you're doing it now. Experience the sensations arising and then vanishing on their own. We begin to actually feel the life of the body and what's really going on. As the saying goes, sitting quietly, doing nothing, spring comes, and the grass grows by itself. This is the simplicity of being mindful of the body. So we can cultivate mindfulness of the body through several modalities in our practice. Spirit Rock teacher John Travis for years followed his teacher S.N. Goenka's process of the body scan, which involves mentally scanning the entire body from the soles of the feet to the hair on the head. Another useful modality is connecting with the four elements that comprise all form. The earth element, that of heaviness or mass. The air element, that of wind, vibration. The fire element, that of heat and cold. And the water element, that of cohesion and fluidity. Using things like the body scan or connecting with the four elements helps keep us from getting caught in our stories. It helps us keep perspective. We can also always use posture as a reminder or a key throughout the day. Simply notice when you are sitting that you are sitting. When you are standing that you are standing. When you are reaching that you are reaching. Stretching, slumping, crouching, bending. It doesn't matter the posture. What matters is the mindfulness. Each moment, new and unique, to be watched, to be acknowledged. We actually tend to lose it more in the transitions. So being watchful of the posture when changing postures, when changing activities, brings really rich insights. John Travis tells the story of leaving an iPod on his dashboard and walking into a store, coming back, and his iPod was stolen. His first response was that of anger. And he recalls pacing back and forth and then going to one end of the walk and stomping his feet very hard. This was what brought him back into the body. He had been in his emotions and in thoughts about his emotions. But when he stomped his feet really hard on the ground, it brought him back into the body. And then, he said, compassion arose for the first time. In Vipassana practice, we begin with instruction around the breath. And this is not to control the breath, but to use the experience of it and the experience of the body to awaken. By closely attending to the breath, we come to see that nothing stays the same. That not only the breath, but the entire experience of me is fluid, changing. It becomes apparent that I am not an entity, but a verb, a process. The breath is such a good place to begin because breathing keeps us alive. It's convenient, it's always present, and it's very impersonal. Here's an exercise. Take a moment and close your eyes. Bring your awareness to the breathing. Then take a breath as if it were your very first, as if you were a newborn and this was your very first breath. Now take a breath as if it were your last. It will be someday. And then open your eyes. This is just a simple exercise to bring the immediacy of the breath to the consciousness. The instruction from the Buddha also is to notice the breath internally and externally, and to notice the arising and the vanishing of the breath. Notice it entering the body and then leaving the body. Thank you. The next section from the Majjhima Nikaya on contemplation of the body. In this way, he abides contemplating the body as a body internally, or he abides contemplating the body as a body externally, or he abides contemplating the body as a body both internally and externally. Or else he abides contemplating in the body its nature of arising, or he abides contemplating in the body its nature of vanishing, or he abides contemplating in the body its nature of both arising and vanishing. Or else, mindfulness that there is a body is simply established in him to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and mindfulness. And he abides independent, not clinging to anything in the world. That is how a bhikkhu abides, contemplating the body as a body. Well, if mindfulness of the body is this precious and this necessary to awakening, then how is it that we so often avoid or ignore it? Because to see and feel the body is so often distasteful or painful or even frightening. What we often see first is the result of such experiences as abuse, self-betrayal, illness, injury, or natural aging, or the long-term toll taken by stress and anger and armoring against the pain of life. And who wants to look at that? So instead, we distract ourselves, live in our heads, our opinions, our thoughts and judgments, as if they were reality. We tell stories that convince us they're real. And so we distance ourselves from reality and miss the actual experience of life as it comes to us in each moment. We can actually work with all phenomena as they arise in the body, simply by being available. If at any moment we turn and listen, dropping into the body, what do we learn? We learn the three characteristics of all life: suffering, impermanence, and selflessness. The consistent practice of mindfulness of the body has the effect of thinning and loosening our sense of who we are. The sense of time drops away. We see the body changing. Contemplation of death is a powerful practice. People returning from a near-death experience usually don't say, "I wish I'd spent more time at work." Instead, there's a remarkable new perspective that values each moment as precious. In the 2010 Ladakh flood, 400 villagers died, and Indian soldiers brought wood for the charnel ground fires on the mountain. This charnel ground, then, was the practice area for local monks. The saying, "This body, too, is of the same nature. It is not exempt from that fate." Young monks are often taken to the morgue to begin contemplation of bodily impermanence. On a lighter note, John Travis tells of his childhood in the home of his grandfather, who was a mortician. John and his childhood friends would sneak in to touch the bodies and then scream and run. On the fourth floor, across from John's room, his grandfather made plaster of Paris molds of the faces. Those memories are what constitute his first exposure to mindfulness of the body. Likewise, simply the aging process naturally gives us the opportunity to let go of the body's powers and abilities moment by moment. We can meet these moments with resistance and anger, or with curiosity and an open mind and heart. These three characteristics of all life, then, impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and the absence of self, will be revealed by the body as we abide there. The process of impermanence, of change, is universal and impersonal. It is natural. There is nothing wrong. This is the unexpected and liberating lesson that arises from sati, mindfulness of the body. We close with a poem by Devi Weisenberg called The Friend. Why settle for a cup of water when you are the river? You are the wetness in water. Slide into the unknown. The beloved that knows you is waiting there. Climb down the rickety ladder into the mystery cave of your body where your own quiet music plays. Become the great friend to yourself. Tip your identity into the empty bowl of being. Hold only space where you used to fill it. A cup already strained can hold no more. Escort people through you to the beloved, loving them, teaching them, learning from them, always returning to the solace of the friend. Hold your animal body tenderly. Caress the cheek of grief with pleasure. You are a gateway. No beginning, no end. A flame of living truth unfolding. Become the great friend to yourself.